Turn with me, if you would, now to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, our text tonight will be verse 14, but let's begin reading in verse 12. Read down to it. Colossians 3, verse 12, it says, "Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Verse 14 says, "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Charity means love. When you see the word charity, we just read 1 Corinthians 13. Charity means love. Put on, he said, wear love. Isn't the love of the Lord Jesus Christ something wonderful? We know it. Every now and then we get to experience it. One of these days we're going to experience it without measure, without ending. We're going to know, we hear, isn't the love of the Lord Jesus Christ something wonderful? And if we know something of the love of Christ, we say, yes, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Oh, it's so wonderful. It is so wonderful. His love is full of wonder. His love is full of wonder. And how wonderful is it, how full of wonder is it that we get to wear it? He said, put it on. How wonderful is it that we get to wear it? In thinking on this subject of love, it occurred to me that love is a privilege. Love is a privilege. Being loved is a privilege. And loving is a privilege. How privileged we are to be loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. You talk about the understatement of the century. How privileged. You know, you can't just pick who you love. You can't just decide that person. I just, with every fiber of my being, love that person. It's a privileged thing. And how privileged we are to be loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, I can't say words to even express how privileged we are to be loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. People assume on His love. They, you know, take it for granted and this and that. God's people know what they are by nature. They know how undeserving of their love, of His love they are. They're the only ones who actually know we don't deserve His love. How privileged we are to be loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what I just want to focus on. This is what I want to emphasize. How privileged we are to be allowed to love Him. What a privilege it is to love the Lord Jesus Christ. What an absolute privilege it is. It's a privilege just to love Him. You know that by nature, this flesh does not love God. How privileged just to get to love Him, just to have the opportunity of loving Him. I want to take a minute to look at that privilege and consider that privilege and just think about the fact that it truly is a privilege. It's a privilege. We get to love Him. We get to love Him. Paul said, above everything, above all these things, put on love. It is the bond of perfectness. Turn with me, if you would, over to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, a Pharisee asked the Lord one time, trying to tempt Him, trying to catch Him in His words. He said in verse 36, Matthew 22, verse 36, he said, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And the Lord Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And he said, the second one is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, honestly, how could we possibly do either one of those? Honestly, how could we possibly do either one of those commandments? Being what we are by nature, how could we possibly love the Lord our God with all of our heart, and all of our soul, and all of our mind? How could we possibly, in our sinful, selfish flesh, possibly love our neighbor? Everybody here has a neighbor. Get your neighbor in your mind. You got one on each side of you, maybe across the street, I don't know, behind you. Get your neighbors in your mind. How could we possibly love our neighbors as ourselves, as we love ourselves? How could we possibly do that? If we love at all, do we see what a privilege from God that is? If we truly do love at all, such a privilege from our God. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians 13 again, where we just were a moment ago. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, it says, "And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three." Faith is a gift from God. That's not something that we conjure up. Faith in Christ is a gift from God. Hope in Christ is a gift from God. That's not something we bring up from within ourselves. Love for Christ, love for God, love for Christ, love for His people is a gift from God. It's all a gift from God. Verse 13 says, "Now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." The greatest is love. Such a privileged gift from God. He said in verse 1, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love." If I could just speak in a way that absolutely captivated you, but I do not have love for God, love for Christ, love for His people. He went on to say, "I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." I'm just vain jangling. Verse 2, he said, "Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love," love for God, love for Christ, love for His people, "I'm nothing." Those last three words, "I am nothing." Verse 3, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing." What a privileged gift it is to have the love of God, to have love from Him, and to experience the feeling of love to Him. Some people never experience the feeling of love to the Lord Jesus Christ. So privileged. How privileged we are to have that love from Him and to know the experience of feeling that love to Him and feeling that love towards His people. Because He first loved us, because of that, we have the privilege of loving Him and loving each other. And this is what He said to us. If you'll turn with me to John 13. John 13, verse 34, He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another." Think about that. He said, "As I have loved you." As I have loved you. How has He loved us? How has He loved us? I don't believe any place says it better than Romans 5. I don't want to turn you to death, but I need you to go to Romans 5. I don't believe any place says it better than Romans chapter 5. How has our Lord God loved us? In Romans 5, verse 8, it says, "But God commended His love toward us." Who loved? Who did the loving? God did. God commended His love. Who exactly did God love? Verse 8 says, "God commended His love toward us." Who exactly are the us? Who is He talking about when He says us? Look at verse 6. He said, "For when we were yet without strength," we without strength, "in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Us. Weak, without strength, undeserving, ungodly. That was us. Back down in verse 8, it says, "God commended His love toward us." When? When did He do that? While we were yet sinners. How did he love us? It goes on to say, Christ died for us. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Our Lord loved sinners. He loved sinners. Why did he love us? That's a mystery to me. That's what it is. Why did he love us? That's a mystery to me. Considering what we were, considering what we are, that's a mystery to me. But doesn't that make us love him? While we were yet sinners, ungodly, rebellious, he loved us. Seeing how he loved us, that makes us love him so much. Look with me, if you would, at Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy 7, verse 1 says, When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. Verse 6 says, For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. Thou art a holy people. Thou art a set apart people. Thou art a sanctified people. Who is? We just saw who is. Ungodly, weak, undeserving sinners like us. Verse 6 says, Thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. Above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Verse 7 says, The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. Don't you know Israel was constantly saying, after they came back to this realization, they were always veering off. They're always leaving the Lord their God. And they'd get in trouble, and he would deliver them, and he'd bring them back and set their mind on him again. And don't you know, they were always saying, Why would the Lord choose us? Why would he choose us? Isn't that what we say? Why on this earth would he choose us? Verse 7 says, The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. You say, well, he loves us because he made a covenant concerning us. Yes, that's right. But here's my question. Why did he want to make a covenant concerning us in the first place? He made a promise to love us. He made a promise to keep us. But what would make him want to do that in the first place? What a mystery. A mystery of good news. The mystery of the gospel. Because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. You talk about love. That's how he loved us. Greater love had no man than Christ. He laid down his life for his friends. That's how he loved us. Now, how can we love him? That's how he loved us. How can we love him? Don't you want to love him? How can we love him, really? For the rest of our days here in Kingsport, how can we love him? How can we have the privilege of loving him, showing our love to him? Go with me again, if you would, to John 13. Turn with me back over to John 13. John 13, verse 34. Our Lord said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." What a privilege it is to love God and to love his people. It's an evidence of belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ, truly loving his people. Christ in us, that's what makes us lovely to each other. I want to tell you something, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. You are lovely to me. You are lovely to me. And my feeling that way is completely due to the Christ that you love. The Lord's people are lovely to the Lord's people. And that's all because of the Christ that the Lord's people love. That's the whole reason. But in all sincerity, you are lovely to me. This right here, whenever God's Spirit reveals it to me and lets me enter into it, this is my joy. Being here with you is my joy. This is the closest I can come to being with my Lord right now. This is as close as I can come to it. We mention all the time, our brother just mentioned this in a prayer in my study a moment ago. He said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst of you." This is what goes through my mind. This is just what just went through my mind a moment ago. I hope I'm gathered here in his name. I hope I'm one of them. I don't want to assume on this. I want him to be here. I want him to meet with us. And this is the great privilege of life. This is truly the great privilege of life. I know that this is going to be strange to say, but I believe you'll understand what I mean by this. I believe you will. I find myself in true wonder and amazement sometimes that any of us love Christ. I really do. It's amazing to me. The reason why I say that is because I know that we are also prone not to. Do you feel the fleshly struggle to worship Him and struggle to focus on Him? There are things in the world that we love. There are movies that we love. We love that movie, and we can hang on every frame of that picture, cite every word. And sometimes we come in here and it's just such a struggle. Such a struggle. We're just so prone to wander. Lord, we feel it. I'm truly, honestly amazed that any of us love Christ. I'm honestly amazed by that. And I know that our love for Him is just Him keeping us in His love. And realizing that makes me feel so privileged to be a part of it. It's a privilege. Such a great privilege. I look at all of you young couples and young families, and I think how privileged we are for the fact that God's Spirit has given us a heart for Christ. Don't we realize that we could be off doing anything right now? Why are we here? I tell you why. The love of Christ has constrained us. It's not because of us. It's because we have been privileged to be included in His love. He's given us a heart for Christ. What a privilege that is. He's given us a love for Christ. We are so prone to wander and we get taken by all these things, but His love in us, Christ in us and His Spirit in us, causes us to realize everything else is nothing and He's all. I love Him by His grace and His doing and because of His love. But oh, what a privilege it is to receive a love that surpasses the love of this world, even though we get taken by it from time to time. The things of this world, the empty vanity of this world. This world is so empty and it's so vain. There's nothing in it. We all have jobs. This one is mine. I provide for my family in this way. And you provide for your family. And we need to do that. And Solomon said it's okay to enjoy the things that we worked for. But it's all empty. There's only one thing worthy of setting our affection on. And we're privileged to receive it. We're just privileged, so privileged. Our Lord said right here in John 13, He said, I'm giving this as a commandment to you. Love Me and love every soul that loves Me. And do you know what God's people say to that? Lord, that's our privilege. Your commandment is our privilege. It is our privilege. Oh, how privileged we are to put on the love of God. Could we, with ink, the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, the love of God, how privileged we are to have it. 'Tis a point I long to know. And I know I'm quoting poetry here, but I mean this, and I believe you mean it too. 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. There are times that it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? You know, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be cursed when Christ comes back. And you think about that. A lot of people are going to be cursed when Christ comes back. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I His or am I not? If I love, why am I thus? Why this dull? You know what I'm talking about? Prone to wander? Lord, I feel it. Why this dull and lifeless frame? Hardly sure can they be worse who have never heard His name. Am I really better than someone who could not care less about the Lord Jesus Christ? The answer is no. Nay, as Paul said. Could my heart so hard remain? We talk about this infinite love that we're going to live forever in. Could my heart so hard remain? Prayer, a task, and burden proof. Okay, here we go again. We're going to pray to God. Every trifle give me pain. You just mad. You see what? I'm mad at that now. I'm mad at that now. Every trifle give me pain. If I knew a Savior's love. When I turn my eyes within, all is dark and vain and wild, filled with unbelief and sin. Can I deem myself a child? If I pray or hear or read, sin is mixed with all I do. You who love the Lord indeed, tell me, is it thus with you? Yet I mourn my stubborn will. And don't you? Don't you just grieve what you are? I'm not a holy roller. Find my sin a grief and thrall. It's just grieving to me. I just hate it. I loathe it. But should I grieve at what I feel if I did not love at all? There's a little hope in that. This is my favorite right here. Could I joy His saints to meet? Could I be happy about gathering with the saints of God? Choose the ways I once abhorred. Find at times the promise sweet. If I did not love the Lord. Lord, decide this doubtful case. Thou who art the people's Son, since upon Thy work of grace, if indeed it be begun, let me love Thee more and more. If I love at all, I pray. If I have not loved before, help me to begin today. Help me. Help me. Help us. Help us to put on the love that You've given to us. For Christ and for each other. Let us love You. Please let us love You. It's the bond of perfectness. It is the bond of perfectness. I was going to close with 1 John 4. I'm not going to read it. You just read it sometimes. It says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sins. If God loved us like that, brethren, we ought to love one another. His love will be the tie that binds our hearts for all eternity. The reason it's the greatest is because faith and hope are going to give way to sight. That love is never going away. It'll be the tie that binds our hearts for all eternity. Love for Christ, love for each other. How perfect that bond is. So perfect. It's perfect because it's of God. Truly of God. Lord, let us put on and wear your perfect love now and all eternity. Amen. All right, let's all stand together.